This is a Hat Trick podcast.
Oh, lovely.
Welcome to In the News This Week, the podcast from some of the team who've worked on Have I Got News For You.
I'm Emerald Paston.
I'm Mike Raymond.
I'm Queenie Miller.
And I'm Jack Harris.
We'll be taking you through the big and not so big stories in the news this week when the TV show can't.
Think of it like this. If the main show is a nuanced and gritty Oscar-winning performance, then we're Eddie Murphy in The Nutty Professor 2.
Should have got an Oscar for that.
It's no Norbert.
Oh, it's no Norbert.
We're really topical today, aren't we? Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hey, Queenie.
You're all dressed up.
Huh?
Oh, yeah. Actually, I'm wearing my Zelensky jumper.
I actually think it's really disrespectful if you weren't, especially for the podcast, so.
We're all wearing Zelensky-esque tops, aren't we?
Yeah,
all in black.
I'm like Keir Starmer, I'm hedging my bets, so I've got a suit and dress trousers on the bottom half.
Oh, the bit we can't see, you've got really formal.
I've got dress trousers and polished shoes, combat fatigues on the top.
We're, of course, referencing our round one topic today, which is the clash between Vladimir Zelensky, Donald Trump and J.D. Vance at a press conference in the White House on Friday.
Yeah.
That was a bit crazy.
It was pretty mad.
Have you said thank you once? Is what Vance said that to Zelensky is immediately becoming part of my lexicon for when I don't need thanking for anything. When I've done something that's actively like hurting someone else, I'm going to say. But have you said thank you once?
It really reminded me of being a kid and being given shit presents and then being said, have you said thank you? Have you even said thank you once?
Yeah.
And like, have you said thank you sincerely for your Toby jug?
Yeah.
I did once get given a Toby jug as a 7-year-old.
Oh, did you?
Wow. Yeah. I've been given a Toby jug too.
And I wasn't grateful enough.
Yeah. Everyone's getting Toby jugs.
A Toby jug's always of people.
I'm sure everyone who listens to this podcast knows, but a Toby jug is like a beer jug or a mug in the form of a stout old man, like an 18th century guy with a three-cornered hat. There's like different characters. It's great.
Who was it of, Mike?
Toby.
I can't remember. I was so angry. I wanted a football.
The whole thing for me had the vibe of like when I was a teenager and you'd be on the bus and then some other scary girls would like start on you and your friends, you know? Like there's nothing you can say that's not going to get them to shout at you,
but
you know,
when they're like, oh, fight, right? That's it. Yeah.
Are you looking at me? That kind of
You're not looking at me. Why aren't
exactly.
you looking at me?
Yeah.
Oh, so you are looking at me.
Bully vibes, basically.
J.D. Vance is like really just there to goad, it felt like.
Yeah. Even Marco Rubio, who was sat right next to him, he sank so far into his sofa that I thought Vance was going to make a move on him.
But then afterwards, he said, like, critics of the press conference need to grow up. But bearing in mind that during the press conference, Trump got asked a question about what if Russia breaks the peace deal terms. And he said, what if a bomb drops on your head right now?
So good.
Which is the most childish thing I've ever heard.
It's a solid
response. To someone in like whose country's in the middle of like being decimated by war. That's crazy.
Yeah. He's an absolute clown. People keep saying stuff about Trump. They keep saying, oh, it was a planned attack. It was an ambush. Is he a Russian agent? It's part of this bigger. It's not. He's the most petty, self-serving human being who's ever held any kind of office. And all he wants is to enrich his own pocket. That's the only thing he wants.
Basically, this is a man who's sexually assaulted women, right? He's been found. Mm. And he just behaves like that. Like, oh, you weren't able to defend yourself from the Russians. Well, it's your own fault. You shouldn't have provoked them by doing nothing.
And then he started talking about what he was wearing.
Exactly. Yeah.
Wow.
Maybe if you dressed differently,
but
you wouldn't have.
This is the thing, is that Trump, Musk, J.D. Vance, they all kind of say, oh, Zelensky, if he really wanted this to stop, he'd make it stop. And they like cite the fact that he did the Vogue cover and all this sort of stuff. And it's like, oh, posturing politics. But he said, look, if we get NATO membership, I'll happily give up the presidency. I don't care. I don't care. Yeah. And they cannot compute that because they cannot understand what selfless politics is.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if you guys saw this clip where the guy is asking Zelensky why he doesn't wear a suit.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, do you own a suit? When do you wear a suit? That guy is bizarrely Marjorie Taylor Greene's boyfriend, which is another story.
She was talking about Jewish space lasers and told Emily Maitlis to fuck off.
Yeah. She's really nice. She's
just,
cool.
Just in case anyone needed any.
Really good track record,
Yeah.
It's a good bit of context there. But he's from an outlet called Real America's Voice, which you can imagine is a little bit right-leaning in its thing. But they would never be in that sort of room, the Oval Office, as reporters. Instead, you didn't have the Associated Press in there.
Yeah.
Because they're refusing to call it the Gulf of America, which again, the most childish thing. One news report you did have in there was from TASS, who are the Russian state media, who, to be fair, once the White House realized they're in there, they kicked them out. But it's pretty crazy that they were like allowed in there in the
Slipped
first place.
In. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not even surprised anymore.
Obviously, Zelensky's suit was criticised by some of the people in that room. And everyone I've seen is mentioning in response that Elon Musk doesn't wear proper suits into the White House. But I'm not seeing anyone else mention that J.D. Vance has been wearing a human skin suit for years now. No one's mentioning that. So weird.
Jack, what was the reaction like on the US show?
It was interesting for us because we were doing the rehearsal for the show at about 1 p.m. our time. And then a headline popped up which said, Donald Trump shouts at Zelensky in the Oval Office. And we thought, oh, that probably seems like quite big news. So we had to, well, during the rehearsal and after the rehearsal, essentially scrap the top half of our show in order to adapt for that new story, which was very fun to do. And it's the first kind of big story that's broken on a record day for us. And it was awesome to see kind of like everyone jump into action and see the writers kind of tear apart what something had just literally just happened and come up with some amazing jokes. So it was really, really fun.
That happens quite a lot on the main show in the UK. Did Michael, Jack, do you have any favourite moments that something's derailed the entire planning of what we've written?
Well, Liz Truss thankfully resigned on the Thursday when we were doing our record, didn't she, Mike?
Yeah.
But she resigned at 1 p.m, which was really nice of her.
The only good thing she did.
She she could have done it way later.
I worked on the 2015 election, so that was Cameron versus Ed Miliband.
Oh, yeah.
So with the election show, so you record them on the Friday morning, which is really fun. And then you do a shorter recording, it goes out, I mean, not live, but almost as live, because you don't have as much time to cut it. It's just such a good atmosphere, because everyone comes in and is buzzing. And I think Miliband resigned. Lib Dem of the day, insert name here, resigned. Then maybe even someone else. I think Farage might have resigned as UKIP leader, weirdly. Or said he was quitting politics.
And that was the last we heard of him.
Exactly. And everyone went, thank God.
I wonder what he's doing now.
Being over here, doing the American show, obviously, at the moment.
Oh, yeah.
You're like, oh, right. A lot of people kind of saying one way or the other. Or like, maybe Zelensky should have just like kind of, you know, not said anything and just got the deal done. And like maybe they're sort of defending it. And then you see the British papers, it's like just unanimously like, that was an absolute car crash. What on earth are they doing? Like
even the Daily Mail.
Why on earth are they having a go at Zelensky? It's like so everywhere else is so pro-Ukraine. Because of course they are. Because Russia invaded Ukraine. Like this is the mad thing. And like today, the stuff in the House of Commons where Keir Starmer's addressing what he's going to do for Ukraine. It was like across the board supported. But who's the one person that wasn't on side?
Nigel Farage
got booed today.
I think he gets booed every day.
That's true. But I think it's because he can see this kind of like Trump whisperer role starting to kind of like lose his grip on that because Keir Starmer's taken this sort of bizarrely somehow fallen into his lap to become this kind of statesman-like. Yeah. I'm sure he's got plenty of time to mess it up, but right now,
he's getting called beautiful by Trump.
Not everyone's completely happy with the announcement of the spending on the war in Ukraine. There's been quite a big argument for like there's not enough domestic spending on public services and there's always money for war, but not for, you know, feeding children here.
Hmm. Well, Annalise Dodds resigned as International Development Minister.
Yeah.
Which is kind of completely got overshadowed. It's normally a pretty big deal. Also, I think the first Labour resignation of their government.
True.
The Trump thing's just sort of carte blanched everything, hasn't it? Because everyone can just do what they want or say what they want because that's just not made a dent in the headlines.
Yeah.
Also because people have to Google her because they don't know who she is.
It also comes with Labour like cutting foreign aid expenses to pay for this. They're scrapping their manifesto pledge to grant employees the right to switch off after working hours.
What was that as a rule? What were they trying to do?
It's like trying to make it like France. So employees, you're not allowed to email or call or text or WhatsApp anyone outside of their working hours, which is the rules they have in France, which seems pretty reasonable.
It's just so businesses can't take advantage.
Yeah, there's been a lot of obviously backlash from business leaders who have money to finance political parties. So obviously they've been listened to. And it's interesting. And also there were some like scare articles in Daily Mail and in the papers, probably financed by business leaders. They said things like, what, so if a doctor's on call, then they can't send them a message and then the doctor won't be able to go into the hospital and save someone's life.
And all your family are going to die.
Yeah. Now, here's a voucher for McDonald's. Yeah, it's probably a good time to bury bad news, isn't it? You can sort of get rid of anything. I mean, Rachel Reeves must be loving it.
Because just the economy's in an absolute state and she's just sort of...
Because we've not had to hear from her for ages.
And no one's reporting on the economy. You look on the news, no one's saying, oh, this is what's happening. Yeah. Really?
I reckon Rachel Reeves has gone missing. We just don't know.
I guess she's gone on holiday. She's in Falaraki.
Who do you think is a big beneficiary of the Oval Office spat?
Is it Joe Biden because no one's noticed he's still in there?
Yeah, although he did get a mention.
He's hiding in the rooftop.
He's just sat in the corner.
Did you see that he got a mention in that Oval Office thing where Trump goes, "We've given you billions of dollars. That stupid president gave you billions of dollars." I was man, Joe Biden catching strays in the middle
from
of
the grave.
Like, there's such a thing
he's
as well.
Turning in his grave.
There's such a precedent of not slagging off. Like Obama, Clinton, Bush, they all don't slag each other off. They never comment. And again, Trump he's such a clown.
So the person who I think is probably benefited the most from this whole thing, I was reading an article about Trump impersonators, right? Because their business has gone mental. Apparently, speaking to one of them, their business doubled when he lost in 2020, then it quadrupled when he got indicted. And in their words, now it's insane. And there was a video of this guy who comes into like a little boy's birthday party doing YMCA, and he must be like six, and they've got a Trump impersonator as like the entertainer. But my favourite quote was, there was a guy who was a former George W. Bush impersonator who's now transitioned to Trump. Transitions to Trump.
You're not allowed to transition under a Trump presidency.
Well, I think he got in before he got in power, thankfully. But he does have some morals, because he said, of course, when Obama became president, I couldn't do Obama. So it's good to know that he's got a line that he draws on impersonator.
Where can we find a Keir Starmer impersonator for Mike's next birthday? I think that would be
the manager of Dunelm.
No, you need to go to B&Q and get a 4x2.
This is a paid advertisement from Manscaped.
So Jack, unlike me, you favour a bit of beardage, or as I like to call it, too lazy to get the job done. But like all men, we're at the mercy of the daily shave, whether you're opting for a clean face, a Tom Selleck moustache, or a hipster beard.
What I'd give to have my own Tom Selleck moustache.
Whatever floats your boat, mate, Manscaped have got you covered with their range of shavers, from the all-in-one grooming with the beard hedger to the excellently named lawnmower, which will handle all the other hair on your body, and I mean all. With its dual blade system and skin safe technology, the lawnmower keeps things fresh and smooth, even in the most sensitive spots, you know what I mean?
And if you're travelling, like me, they both have an hour of runtime on battery, a built-in travel lock, and a waterproof design, so you can use them in the shower too.
We've been lucky enough to have been gifted some beard hedges here at the pod, and frankly, with 20 adjustable settings, you're spoilt for choice in having all the tools you need to achieve whatever look you're after. Not only that, but the lawnmower comes with an LED spotlight, so not only will you never miss a spot, but I reckon it could double as a handy flashlight during a power cut.
Be prepared. I like it.
Well, I don't think these should just be for you guys. A shaver with a torch included? I'm in. If you would like a risk-free trial, Manscaped offers a 30-day money-back guarantee, so you can try the Beard and Balls bundle completely risk-free.
Don't cut corners in your grooming routine. Upgrade to the Beard and Balls bundle from Manscaped.
Visit manscaped.com and use the code INTHENEWS to get 20% off plus free shipping.
Or if you need it today, you can find Manscaped at a store near you.
Stay fresh this season for everyone's sake. Level up your grooming game today.
Can we all stop saying Beard and Balls bundle now?
Welcome back to In the News this week. Now it's time for round two, and I've asked you each to bring a news item for the past week that you think would be perfect for round two of the TV show. Jack, you're up first.
Hello.
What you got?
So it was the Oscars on Sunday night, and I read a fun article in the Times where initially I was like, okay, I'm not a fan of this because it feels like they just fill in space. But the Times science editor and their data team looked at the science of winning an Oscar.
Oh, wow.
And so I thought, okay, based on their findings, if our five most recent prime ministers decided they wanted a career change and they're going to Hollywood, who would be the most likely to win an Oscar based on their scientific breakdown? So we've got Starmer, Sunak, Liz Truss, Boris Johnson, or Theresa May. Now, just off the top of your head, I want to get an answer from you as to who's most likely to win an Oscar. And then we're going to look at the science. Because I'm a man of science, guys, as you all know.
Mm. I'm going to say good actors are bad liars, and so none of them.
What?
Because they're good liars. They lie all the time.
Did you just read that off a fortune cookie?
No, but that's just true.
Wait, hold on. So you're saying good actors are bad liars?
Yeah, because you've got to be good.
Oh, nice. Okay, that makes sense. I get you now. So all of them would be bad. Then none of them got a chance.
I've put too much logic on this premise, which I know is just a silly bit.
No, no, it's not a silly bit at all. It's a deadly serious question. Yeah.
I think the obvious answer is Liz Truss.
Why is that?
Why are you saying that, Mike?
She's the one most devoid of reality. So she's the one who can go to like fantastical places. You could put her into Narnia and she'd believe it was real.
I'm going to go Sunak because I think only he would have the money to finance a full passion project movie.
Nice. Like he's getting acting lessons and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I can imagine him being a bit of scenery.
And the Oscar for Inanimate Objects goes to Rishi Sunak as Spoon. Well, one of the things I've got to say, if you want to win an Oscar, right, and we're talking about Best Actor, Supporting Actress, all those four big ones, they say you want to play a real person, but importantly, someone who is striving. Right, now, the examples they give are Gary Oldman as Churchill, because he's fighting the Nazis, Will Smith as Richard Williams, who won because he couldn't afford tennis coach. He was trying to get that for his daughters. And bizarrely, Olivia Colman as Queen Anne because she had gout. So she was really striving in this. But if we look at our five options, I think that Sunak and Boris Johnson get bad marks here. They weren't striving at any point.
Yeah. Boris has definitely got gout, though.
Yeah, very true. Very
He's
true.
Definitely touched by it.
Okay, I think in this case, it's just Sunak then who gets bad marks on this. Okay. Unless you count not having Sky TV, obviously.
That's so a struggle.
That was tough.
Okay, the most positive genres they've been. Most successful, like romance, then it's biography, then it's war. So I kind of feel like they're all similar here. I don't really see any many as romantic figures. Potentially
Matt
Boris
Hancock?
Johnson gets a few extra marks because of the fact that he's, you know,
he's been romantic more than the others.
Slightly amorous.
He's slightly amorous.
And war, I think there wasn't anyone who was particularly...
well, Starmer now, I guess.
Yeah, so he gets a few marks.
Liz Truss went in a tank. She did the old Margaret Thatcher.
Okay, I like this, Mike. We're going there.
She took milk away from children.
I think Truss getting the slight edge there with her little tank thing.
Yeah.
Okay, now the average ages for men and women who won Oscars are 53 and 51 respectively. Now, Theresa May, 68. There have been older actresses winning, but I think she's counted out of this one. She's too old, I'm afraid, for Hollywood. As much as we'd love to see you.
Mamma Mia 4?
Yeah. Mamma Mia 4, she'd be fantastic.
Because Dancing Queen.
Exactly.
She's already auditioned.
You've got Bojo at 60, Liz Truss 49, Rishi Sunak 44, Starmer at 62. So Liz Truss is the closest here in terms of ages. So I think she comes out on top.
We can see where this is going.
How dare you? How dare you say such a thing, Mike? This is scientific. This is nothing but science. Okay. Star signs.
I'm out.
This is bullshit.
I'm absolutely out.
Now listen, I was anti. I was so anti because I read this before the Oscars happened, right?
Yeah.
But Aries, highest number of Oscars.
But only when the moon's in Uranus.
No, no, no. But bottom is Virgo. I don't know why. Now, none of our politicians are Aries, but Adrian Brody and Mikey Madison, both Aries.
They said Gen Zers were annoying about this stuff.
Jack has been in America for 10 minutes and he's already fully blown conspiracy theorist.
Main thing about this, Starmer is
a Virgo.
Sorry,
no one's getting on board. I'm getting on board now.
No, it's fine. I don't mind it. This is how I live my life.
I'm getting on board.
Right? Right. Starmer's a Virgo, so he's bottom, so he's out.
I'm starting to understand why you're not a physics teacher anymore.
This is what he tried to put on the curriculum.
This is the most unscientific experience I've ever had.
He was doing this all day when he was meant to be teaching them about like quantum theory.
I've worked out which one of you is most likely to be able to kill a wolf.
Queenie, obviously.
Obviously me.
Based on star signs and how attractive your mothers are.
Please, class. Am I going to have to get the deputy head teacher? No, thank you. Do you want a break time? Good. Okay.
I really do want a break.
I want this to end.
You'll get to the break if I finish this fucking bit, okay? Okay, be recent. You've got to be recent. They have them in December.
What do you mean you've got to be recent?
Because you want the film to come out in December when it's close to the thing.
Oh, the film's got to be recent.
Yeah, yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So in that case, can't be Theresa May. She's already out anyway. Can't be Boris Johnson. He's not recent enough. Liz Truss is always knocking about. She's always about. Okay, but the key thing, you can't be too successful at the box office. You have to be unpopular.
Oh.
And I think we all know who wins out overall here.
Okay.
My friend and yours, Liz Truss. So we have worked out through purely scientific methods.
Have we?
That the more appropriate is the most likely to win. an Oscar is Liz Truss.
Who are you and what have you done with Jack Harris?
He's always been like this, Mike.
Oh my God.
Anyway, I'm really glad you enjoyed my story. Thanks very much.
I really liked it.
That's great.
Emerald, what have you got for us this week?
I am afraid I'm back to my old tricks of old building stories.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how it's happened.
Haunted dolls of old buildings.
Yeah. About time.
This is a story about an old lighthouse in Cornwall, which is currently facing some issues. The National Coast Watch Institution put out a statement that said anyone living in the area of this Land's End lighthouse may have noticed that for the past 6 days, the Longships lighthouse has been sounding its foghorn every 13 seconds, all day and all night.
13?
Every 13 seconds, this lighthouse's alarm is going off. It's its fog visibility sensor, even though there's no fog. What advice do you think the National Coast Watch Institution has given to locals about this issue?
Buy earplugs.
Jump into the sea.
Move to Devon.
Jack got it in one. They've advised that a set of earplugs might be a good investment.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Fix the thing.
That's so bad.
No? Yeah.
One tourist that was visiting the spot told the BBC that it was the noisiest sunset I've seen so far, which I thought was really poetic.
How was the sunset? Bloody loud. Really noisy. That's what it was.
Yeah. One woman said, this is not normal for Cornwall.
What is normal for Cornwall, though?
Yeah.
And one guy said that the continuous beeping was a bit of a talking point and a conversation starter in the area. Which
you just want an excuse to make some friends.
Yeah. But ironically, it must end the conversation after 13 seconds, so it must be quite short conversations that they're having. Basically, I can't believe that this has made national news, because can you imagine if there was a news story every time an alarm went off constantly in London? I feel like when I lived in North London, there was a car alarm going off every 13 seconds, yeah. Always, forever.
Yeah, Brixton High Street.
Maybe they just move it to London.
I think they should move it to Clacton, and they say, we'll only turn it off when Nigel Farage is there.
It's a great plan. It's still rating at 4.6 on Google reviews, this lighthouse. Although one of them mentions that it's vegan friendly, which makes me worry, because I don't know what's going on at the other houses in Cornwall, but this one's vegan.
Is it vegan friendly? Because it's incredibly irritating to listen to.
If I had the opportunity to scream every 13 seconds, I would.
So is it still going off?
I was checking to see if there are any stories about it stopping, and I've not read a story that says it stopped.
That seems like a really easy fix for something so obtrusive.
It's a much better story, because everyone's staying engaged throughout the whole time you're talking, Emma, which is good.
Yeah, because it seems to be largely based on facts and reality.
Yeah, I actually didn't hear any complaints during my story, Jack. That was weird.
Thank you very much, Emerald.
My pleasure.
Incredible. Mike, what have you got for us?
My story is the news. You'll be shocked to hear. The House of Lords dining room is full of pests.
That's
not a surprise.
Every day?
There it is. Yeah. So this week, a Freedom of Information request has revealed that there's an infestation of mice in the House of Lords dining room. And there's some good quotes about this. According to the Telegraph, one of the complaints reads, several of our guests have been in touch to express their concern over a mouse which made an appearance in the middle of an event, which sounds like he was sort of invited.
Yeah, like,
I don't think they can tell the difference.
Yeah. And then another added, and this is the best British understatement, unfortunately, the mouse was crawling directly in the food items, which served as a major deterrent to our guests enjoying the catering.
God.
Which sort of major deterrent implies it wasn't like the end of the world. It's just a bit inconvenient. How do you think the House of Lords have responded to this?
Once they're woken up.
Yeah, that's why we need to put the lighthouse yeah. on king every 13 seconds.
Are they all working from home?
Only coming in once a year instead of once a month?
A spokesperson for the House of Lords responded and said, we've had 7 complaints, which is a relatively low number.
Oh, wow. Oh, I bet they're always complaining about everything there.
I was trying to explain the House of Lords to an American the other day, and they just didn't understand.
Really?
To be fair, once I started explaining it, I didn't really understand either. They sort of questioned me and was like, what was the point of it? And I couldn't really give them an answer.
And he said, so what's your star sign, first of all? Jack got some chicken bones, he threw them on the floor, and he waited to see what shape they made.
I don't know how I've got
before
this.
He decided how much detail he gave them.
Some of the things were about literally like undeniable facts.
What headline do you think the Daily Star went with for this story?
We need more funding for the House of Lords.
Very Daily Star, but no.
Mouse of Lords.
Mouse of Lords, there it is.
Of course.
I think it was either that or Squeaker of the House. But
that's really good.
Yeah, Mouse of Lords. The mouse is just one complaint. Apparently it's just the food and drinks gone downhill.
Oh.
The scones crumble easily. That's one of the complaints.
It's a scone. Is that not what it's meant to do?
I know. And someone said it's worse value than Greg's. Do you know how much they get food-wise, their budget, food budget a day, if you're in the House of Lords?
Per person?
Per mouse.
Per mouse, per day. £361.
What?
Per day?
Up to £361 a day per lord.
Excuse me, I'm just wheeling out the guillotine.
Yeah, a lot of stuff at Greg's for £361 there.
And then another person said, it's worse than eating in a garden centre.
Oh,
wow.
They are the type of people who would eat in a garden centre.
I'd happily go to a garden centre. Garden centre sarnie and soup is excellent.
I know a couple of garden centres where the toasties slap.
I don't know what to say to that, Mike.
I just want to try out that word.
I think it's good that you tried it out. I think it's nice that you tried it out, mate. But let's never do it again.
I might have another run-up at it. I might have another run-up at it. Please, I think if I put a bit of the emphasis differently. I love eating in garden centres. I know a couple of garden centres where the toasties slap. Bella?
Finally, it's time for round three, the missing words round. I'm going to read out some headlines from the past week and you just need to fill in the missing words. First up, Apple to fix dictation glitch that replaces what with Trump.
See, I know what
anyone
this
seen
is.
Anyone seen this? Oh, any guesses before Jack gives us the answer?
Orange, bloated, disgusting. I'm just saying, he said, oh yeah, America's becoming big and fat and bloated. So I'm just saying those words.
Okay.
I mean, rump?
Close.
Is it peaceful man looking for nothing but unity?
The answer is Apple to fix dictation glitch that replaces the word racist with Trump.
Wow.
The bug actually happened with any R consonant, and Apple said they're working to fix the glitch.
So, what else have we got? You're racist.
Well, that's why rump was quite close.
Yeah.
Rascal.
Quite a gentle word for it.
Raiment.
Raiment.
We are related.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. Yeah.
Okay, next. Thieves have stolen a £2.8 million what in just 5 minutes?
Is it bucket of popcorn? They just stole one bucket of popcorn from the cinema.
The answer is, thieves have stolen a £2.8 million gold toilet at Blenheim Palace in just 5 minutes, a court hears. One of the men on trial took advantage of its facilities the day before it was taken. Michael Jones told Oxford Crown Court that it was splendid.
Very jackass.
They just put that toilet in like just a regular bathroom. So it's really odd because it's just kind of like, I don't really know why they felt it had to go in Blenheim Palace as well.
We posted this missing word on our social media channels, and congratulations to @T_race3000 on Instagram, who made us laugh with their response when they said, thieves stole £2.8 million turkey. Those kind of pounds? In just 5 minutes.
I like the fact they've explained their pounds thing.
Oh!
Yeah, I like that.
Last one. 15% of what have unusual requests, including chili eating competitions and pork pie floral wreaths.
Members of the House of Lords.
Yeah. I was going to say the same.
Well done. I'm going to slow clap. any others? Any others?
Precocious four-year-olds.
Mothers preparing their baby reveal parties.
Baby reveals?
Yeah.
It's a baby.
That's a was it gender reveals? That's what it is.
It'd be really funny to do a baby reveal. It's a baby. I'll tell you, 15% of UK funerals have unusual requests, including chili eating competitions and pork pie floral wreaths. They've been used to commemorate the dead as Britain embraces bizarre funeral ideas, essentially. A report has found that 15% of funerals include these unusual requests, such as having the undertaker dressed as Gandalf, one for you, Mike, a floral tribute in the form of fruit pastels, and an antiques dealer being buried in a wardrobe.
That would be great, though. I'd have the priest as Gandalf, and I'd have someone coming in dressed as the devil and him go, "You shall not pass."
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
I'm going to do a funeral before my funeral so I can be there and check who's crying.
I would like to listen to my eulogy.
This is sad.
Yeah, I couldn't really think of anything for my funeral.
He's just got all existential.
Yeah, we're all going to die at some point, aren't we, guys?
Hopefully.
Thank you for listening to In the News this week. If you've enjoyed this episode, please give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts or Spotify.
For updates on the show, make sure you're following Have I Got News For You on Instagram, TikTok and Twitter.
You can also get in touch with us by emailing podcasts@hattrick.com. That's Hattrick with two T's.
Make sure you're followed and subscribed to the podcast wherever you're listening to it now, and we'll see you here for next week's episode. Bye!
Bye-bye!
Can anyone hear a siren in the background?
Yeah. It's the lighthouse.
Oh no!
In the News This Week is presented by Jack Harris, Queenie Miller, Emerald Paston and Mike Raymond. The producer is Diggory Waite. The executive producer is Claire Broughton. And the music is by Big George. In the News This Week is a Hattrick podcast.